If you would turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. And we'll start in verse 30. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. The reason I wanted to use that passage and to go over that and to touch on seeking God through wisdom is because there was a time where, of course, I sat out there in those chairs and I would hear the preaching, and it was, of course, it's a sweet thought to think of Christ dying for us so that we can go to heaven and spend eternity in joy and peace where the roads are gold, and it's a sweet thought to anybody. But we miss the point if we don't think of what Christ saves us from. We must act on the conversion and the work of Jesus Christ. While Jesus did die, and he died to save sinners, he also loves us, and he loves us too much to let us stay in sin. So he implants in us, of course, his Holy Spirit, which is conforming us into his image, which he is the perfect Son of God, and that's our goal on this earth until, of course, we are released from the flesh and we join him in righteousness. Amen. If you would turn to James 1, 22 through 25. And I'll start in verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer of the word, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I go to that passage, of course, because it kind of reciprocates what Ezekiel's talking about. It's nothing new is under the sun. This is a common problem. It's been a problem since the days of Judaism to the days of Christianity. It was a problem with James, of course, to the people he was writing to, and it's a problem with us today. You know, it's easy to kind of try to stand still. You know, if we're not, what I mean by that is, if we're not constantly seeking the Lord's face and constantly seeking after God and using the tools that he's given us, then we're going backwards. There's no other way that we can go. If we're not trying to go forwards, you can't stand still. You're going backwards, because it's an upwards slope towards righteousness and towards holiness that we're set on a path towards. And what I want to try to do is go through how we can seek holiness and seek righteousness and in wisdom and seek the Lord's face. So I will now turn to Matthew 7, 24 through 27. And we'll start in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And right here, of course, we kind of see what Brother James spoke on last night, which is our hope in Christ as the rock. If we build our lives and build our souls on the rock, then it will never fail. But anything other than Christ is sinking sand. And of course, we've all heard the song, but it's not enough just to hear the word. We have to hear it and make effort to intentionally hear it and intentionally apply it to our hearts and meditate on it day and night and then do it. And Christ's first commandment, of course, to his apostles is follow me. So what we've got to do is we've got to, first of all, be in prayer. We've got to seek strength from God, because the first step to conversion is realizing that we can't do it ourselves, that we are weak, that we are sinners, that our destination without Christ is hell. And the only way that we can have a turnaround, the only solution, is Christ. And once of course that realization hits us, and of course by God's grace, then our step-by-step process, of course there is no exact step-by-step process, but there's three things that God commands us to do, and one of them is to be in constant prayer. And this isn't public prayer that I'm talking about. It's private prayer. It's while you're at work, you're dealing with people, you know, your natural inclination is not to respond with grace. It's not to respond with charity. You know, whenever you're going through day-to-day life, our flesh wants it our way. We want to do what's best for us, what we want to do. But it's not supposed to be that way. It's Philippians 2, I believe it is. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I'll paraphrase the rest of it. I've not committed that quite to memory, but let each set his mind on the things of others rather than the things of himself. And that's love your neighbor as yourself, which is the second commandment. And I want to turn to James 1, 5 through 7 to look at what God says about prayer through his word. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord, anything of the Lord. When we pray, of course, James will go on, and in chapter 4 he talks about praying according to the will of the Father. And that's how we're supposed to pray. Whenever you pray, we're not praying for a Lamborghini or anything like that. We're praying for grace and charity. We're praying to be conformed into the image of Christ. We're praying for wisdom as we go throughout our day, because there's a way which seems right unto a man, whose end is destruction. And that's our way. That's our mind. It goes to destruction outside of the influence of the Spirit. And of course, we have to rely on Christ for that wisdom, and we have to rely on his word. So, number two, the second thing I have is through fellowship. So the Christian walk was never meant to be alone. And Satan's best friend is zero accountability. So what I mean by that is, if you're doing the walk alone and you're trying to battle sin alone and you're only accountable, of course, to yourself, of course, you're always accountable to God. But if the only person who's asking you day to day how you're doing is yourself, you're going to justify yourself, of course, so you can't anymore. So we have to have somebody that we go to for spiritual encouragement, that we encourage. We cannot rely only on ourselves, but God has given us his church, which we rely on the other members, because there's hands, there's feet, there's eyes, and all of those things, of course, are under the head of Jesus Christ. And we have to rely on the body of Jesus Christ and not just try to do it on our own. So we'll turn to Hebrews chapter 10, 23 through 25. And, of course, I'll start in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So we're called to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And we have to be intentional about considering one another. One thing, of course, that you'll notice is everybody is open to talk. It's just you have to be intentional with spiritual conversation, because otherwise, you know, after the sermon on Sunday mornings, you go out there and it's so easy just to talk about the basketball game on Saturday night, or the football game that weekend, or work throughout your week, or how life the house is, and all of those things are fine. None of those things are sinful. But we have to have spiritual conversations to sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron, and to encourage one another, because as we seek wisdom, we have, of course, I'm speaking more to my age group here, there are pools of wisdom in the older men that have been in the church for 20, 30 years, whereas I have only been a Christian, of course, for a short amount of time, and they have been there for years. There's multitudes of stories that they could tell of God's faithfulness in their life, battles of sin that they had, and the victory that they've had over sin, which, if you're relying on yourself, of course, you don't have that. You don't have that experience, and you can learn from those men or women in your church. And of course, we've also got Hebrews 3, 12 through 13, and I'll turn there as well. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Even when we are made partakers of the Holy Ghost, there's commands like this because we are still prone to wander. We're still prone to sin. And that's shocking at first, you know, after the light's first shed, you know, on you, and your eyes are open and you think, I'll never sin again. And it's, of course, that's delusional. That's why verses in the Bible are put here to use all the tools that God gives us in accountability and fellowship and exhortation, because we need those things. It has been a huge blessing to me specifically, you know, to have those young men around me at our church, because, of course, you know, you get that text in the morning, and if you're not careful, of course, where your mind tends to go is, I've got to start thinking about work, what I need to do there. And whenever you get that reminder, that encouragement, of course, to devote your life to the Lord that day by day, minute by minute. And that's what we've got to do, is remind ourselves to do that, because if your heart is not constantly in prayer and it's not constantly being exhorted and encouraged, then it's going to draw backwards. And if it's drawn backwards, it's not seeking after God's face, it's seeking the flesh, which is seeking after sin. And sin, we all know the end of sin is destruction. So we have to constantly realign and recalibrate our hearts. And we have to have help in that. And some of the help in that, of course, is through fellowship at the church. We've got to be there whenever we fellowship together, as long as there is no providential hindrance. We should always be there on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. And we need to go there preparing our hearts, of course, to serve the Lord and to worship Him. It's not, what did I get out of the service? It's, how can I use this, of course, to direct glory to God in my life, and singing praises to God. It's not about me. And that's, of course, the reason I say that is, I've got to tell myself that all the time. It's every Sunday, it's a struggle. You're sitting there, and, you know, if you're not guarding your heart, then it's going everywhere but towards God. The third place I'll go is, and before I move here, we have got to, in our battle for sin, be transparent. It's in Proverbs. He who covereth his iniquity shall not prosper. But he who forsakes his sin, shall find mercy. Again, to stress that point, we cannot fight sin on our own. We have to have fellowship. We have to have encouragement. And that is not just gumballs and flowery speech. It is hard-nosed gospel, which is sin is bad. Stay out of sin. We've got to preach that to one another. And of course, that's not all the gospel is. But we have to realize how serious and how dangerous sin is. Again, seeking the Lord's face through His Word. Because how are we supposed to seek God's face and follow Christ if we don't know who Christ was and what He did and who He is and what He's doing now? If we're not daily in His Word, then we don't know any of that. So turn with me to Psalm 119, 9 through 11. And I'll start in verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So, of course, this is David, and that's Psalm 119 practically, is stressing the importance of God's word, God's law, being in God's word constantly. And it's not just reading God's word for 15 or 30 minutes or an hour in the morning. You have to constantly chew on it throughout the day, because if you read it and you just pass over it like you would any other book, it's going in one ear and out the other. You have to intentionally read. You have to intentionally seek out God's promises, His character, and His commandments on how we're supposed to direct our life and what we're supposed to be doing. And it has to be a priority. It's got to be our first priority, is to be in God's Word. You know, our work schedules can be changing, and our home schedules can be changing. Some of y'all have kids, some of y'all have families, of course, that you've got to take care of. But God always has to come first, before work, before family, before anything. Because if we love the gifts more than we love the giver of gifts, then God knows how to redirect our hearts so that it is set on Him, and He is number one. And I want to say more on meditation. It is really hard to meditate on God's Word. I don't know if it's the same for y'all, but that's the way it is for me. You know, as you're going throughout your day and you're intentionally trying to meditate, it's so easy to start thinking about just, again, wandering thoughts and not wandering towards anything necessarily sinful. They can be not inherently sinful, but we have got to make up for what we lack in length in our meditations and make up for it in consistency, in purposeful consistency and meditating on God's Word. We can't, you know, start meditating and then we lose our train of thought and we go, well, I'll just throw my hands up. I can't do it. I'll give up. Better luck tomorrow. We have got to continually come back to God's Word, because we're likened to sheep a lot in God's Word. And the way sheep have to eat is they chew the grass and then they spit it up and they have to chew it again. And I forget how many times they have to do that, but they have to do it a pretty good bit of time. And that's the way it is with us. We have got to constantly come back to God's Word and digest it and just seek it from tons of different angles so that we can commit it to our memory and commit it to our heart. Because as Psalm 119 says, how are we supposed to cleanse our way? We're supposed to cling to God's Word. How are we supposed to cleanse our way? To hide God's Word in our heart that we might not sin against Him. And we can't do that if we don't have a serious view of sin and a serious view of the love of Christ. If He's, again, as Ezekiel 33 puts it, as if it's just sweet words, you know, Christ died for me. And that's a sweet thought, but we have to know what it means. We have to know what that means for me, a rotten, dirty sinner, to the core, to be saved by Christ. Because if we miss that, if we miss the personal aspect of Christ dying for us specifically and what that means, then we miss it entirely. It has got to be a love for Christ because He first loved us, and a love that is dedicated to following His commands and abstaining from sin. You know, we've got to use these things. We've got to use prayer to abstain from sin and to seek after righteousness. And we've got to use accountability. We've got to use fellowship, because God gives us these things to use because He loves us. And again, God loves us too much to leave us in our sin. And sin will destroy your... It will destroy you. It's... We've always got to remember that. And I'll turn to 1 Kings 18:21, and that's where I'll close. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. We can't be partial Christians. It doesn't exist. We have to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. If we hear the Word, we have to do it. You cannot hold on to sin. You cannot cover your sin, because whether it comes out to you, of course, anybody here, you know, you can fool me, like Brother James said last night. You can fool everybody here, but you can't fool God. And He knows your heart. And God does not desire after you to sweep the floors and help with the chairs. While those things are good when they're directed to God, they are sinful when they are directed towards man and people pleasing. We have to dedicate our lives and our hearts to God. They can't be to make a show. We can't show up on Sunday and Wednesday as if we're fooling God. We have to seek after Him with the whole heart, or we're not seeking after Him at all.